Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 22, anticipating God's sure judgment of wicked Babylon, both as a city and as a latter-day world system. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1 to chapter 14, verse 23, offers multiple predictions that address, on the one hand, his judgments on local Babylon and its Israel and its king in Isaiah's time, and on the other hand, his future judgments on a world system of evil under Satan. The reason for this interplay of predictions, near and distant judgment, as we learned in studying Revelation, is that the evil that began in the local city of Babylon, which city has now been destroyed, continues to expand in a world system touted by Satan, and it needs to be judged in the coming great tribulation, and that's what we studied in our book of Revelation, chapters 17 and 18. So we note Isaiah 13, 1 to 22, the passage we're looking at tonight. It predicts first in verses 1 to 8 and 17 to 22 God's judgment on the city of Babylon in Isaiah's era. And in Isaiah 13, 9 to 16, it tells of his judgment on Babylon the Great as a system in the Great Tribulation. It's interesting, there is this telescoping that goes on between viewing the near and the distant. It comes back to the near, goes to the distant, and so forth. And the first time it does it, it deals with the city. The second time it does with the king of Babylon. And then we find out that the real king of Babylon who's behind it is Satan. So there's a section here we're going to find out next time that deals with Satan. Well, accordingly, this section, Isaiah 13, 1 to 22, encourages us that God will surely judge the wickedness that we are even facing in our day-to-day, because a lot of the wickedness that we are facing, the pressures of the secular world in regards to our religious beliefs and so forth, all of that stuff is part and parcel of Babylon the Great. And God someday is going to judge it. Well, Isaiah announced in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, that God had given him a prophetic burden about judgment on Babylon, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Whenever you see a burden like that, it indicates that it's somewhat of a negative message. It's heavy on the prophet. He feels the weight of it. It's not something that's light and easy even for him. It's difficult, but the Lord is pressing him strongly to go ahead with this prophecy and to give it. It's a solemn prophecy of judgment. Well, that message announced God's judgment would surely fall on the local evil Babylon of Isaiah's era. Verses 2 through 8. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as one of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of the earth, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall be melted. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. So, God led Isaiah to refer to the invading Medes or the Persians as his sanctified ones, his mighty men to execute his wrath against local Babylon. The ominous sound of the tumult of invaders on the mountains, as of a great multitude, is as the sound of an uproar of kingdoms amassing together under God's leadership. A huge army from a distant land coming as God's weapons of wrath to destroy the whole land. It's interesting that Persia lay 350 miles east of Babylon, indeed a far land of the city of Babylon in Isaiah's day. So Isaiah called for the Babylonians to wail, since the day of the Lord was near as a destruction, sure to come. And he predicted that great fear would come upon the Babylonians. However, and this starts in verse 9, God then had Isaiah reach down through the ages to predict a still future judgment on the world system of evil that began in local Babylon, which judgment will occur in the great tribulation period. Let me read that, verses 9 through 16. This is suddenly we're shot forward even future to our time, to the Great Tribulation period. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, that's in its rising, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and for the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious or scarce than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. And the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe and as the sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man return to his own people and flee every one into his own country. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. So, referring to the distant end time day of the Lord, Isaiah predicted that this era would be cruel, with wrath and fierce anger of God that would lead the land to desolation and destroy its sinners. It's interesting, both in Isaiah and if you look at the book of Zephaniah and some of these other books, the day of the Lord that is predicted in the Great Tribulation is going to be a day where if you look out over the countryside, the whole thing is going to look like an atomic bomb has been there. It's just devastated. Houses, buildings, cities flattened, grass burned up, trees burned and broken, and dead bodies all over the place. It's going to be a time of tremendous destruction. At that time, the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened at its rising, and the moon will not give its light. What is predicted to occur in Matthew 24, 29 to 31 and Revelation 6, 12 to 13, just before Christ's second coming. Why? God will then punish the whole world, verse 11 of Isaiah 13 here, for its sin. And that sin began at ancient local Babylon and it kept on developing worldwide. You know, this is actually an encouragement to us. The city of Babylon, where it all started, has been destroyed. But the movement is still going on, and it's still developing, it's still expanding. But God's going to get the movement. It'll be worldwide, but he will get it. And we can rest assured, based upon how God dealt with the city of Babylon, he's also going to deal with the world. So it's coming. And we shouldn't get too upset because we see a lot of evil around. God is very keenly aware of all that evil. And he's already planned. He's going to get it. But he has a timetable. Well, God will thus end the pomp of the arrogant. He will lay low the pride of ruthless men, making survivors more rare than fine gold, as he makes the whole universe shake in his fierce anger. It's interesting. The world is going to shake. The universe is going to shake. Stars will fall and everything. In fact, people are going to think it's going to be the end of the world. Everything they know in nature is being shaken up. And they're going to know that it's the wrath of God. In fact, they're going to cry out for the mountains to hide them from the wrath of God and from the Lamb. Well, men will be so frightened at God's expressions of wrath that they will each flee to his own people and land and like terrified animals. And he who is found will be thrust through and fall by the sword. Atrocities will occur to infants, to houses, and to women in this terrible time. In fact, Jesus himself predicted in Matthew 24, woe to those who are with child and who are nursing in those days. It's going to be a time of trouble, Jesus says, that never has been nor ever will be after that. But unfortunately, it's going to take that severity, that trial, a difficult trial. And a third of all the Jewish people on the earth are going to be slain by the Antichrist and so forth, and the difficulties that and the judgments that occur. But it's going to take that for the nation Israel to come around. It's going to take that for people of every tongue, tribe, and nation to believe in Christ. They'll come to him, but it's going to be an unbelievably difficult time, much, much worse than what we can even imagine at this point. Well, beginning at verse 17 and going to verse 22, Isaiah returns to the more immediate future to tell of God's judgment on the local city of Babylon of Isaiah's time. And God led the prophet to predict the lasting desecration of the city, and it has been fulfilled to this day. Let me read the verses here. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows shall also dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, Sodom and Gomorrah is so desecrated, we don't even know quite sure where those cities are. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be indwelt from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch his tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, the dragons in their pleasant places, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. God was going to stir up the Medes mercilessly to destroy Babylon, the young men and the children alike. Consequently, the city of Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms of its day, would be as desolate as Sodom and Gomorrah when God overthrew them, never to be inhabited for all generations. With no Arab even pitching his tent there, and no shepherds making their flocks of sheep even to lie down there, since the spot would be so wild, desolate, and foreboding. In fact, the destruction of Babylon was so great that the Arabs, they avoided the Arab because they thought it was cursed. So they wouldn't pitch their tent there. They wouldn't stop there. They just went around the area. And even to this day, Babylon is, you can go and see. There are places where some people have built some houses in some of the ruins and whatnot. But for the most part, you've got all sorts of wild creatures that are there. They're inhabiting the place, or weeds and things that have grown up. But it's basically deserty. And yet you see all these buildings where bricks have been up. They've been knocked down, half knocked down. Exquisite brick making and so forth, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. It's in Iraq, incidentally. Saddam Hussein, before he fell, was thinking about trying to rebuild the city. And of course, he can't do that now. he's died. But the devastation that occurred, it came in stages. It didn't come all at once, but it came gradually. But when it set in, it was complete. So God predicted the local Babylon's severe permanent fall for its sin, as well as the yet future fall of Babylon the Great and the Great Tribulation for its great wickedness. We've seen the fulfillment of God's severe judgment on the ancient local city of Babylon, so we can be sure that the Lord will severely judge its worldwide evil as well. You see, there's a reason why God has destroyed that city. That's a sample to us. We can go. In fact, I have pictures in the Sonderman Pictorial Encyclopedia of the site. And even there's a place there, a pavement that used to be the central road of the city of Babylon. All of a sudden, it just falls off into a crevice because of the destruction. It's just amazing. But when we look at that and recognize the devastation that occurred to that city, that's what's going to happen to the world. And God will judge the world because of the system of Babylon that is taking over. So it's an encouragement to us not to become, discouraged or to be distraught simply because there's great evil that we say coming on the world. We read about it in newspapers, we hear about it on radio and all over the place. But God wants us to know He knows every bit of it, and He will deal with every bit of it. And He's very angry at it. But God is not like us. He knows how to hold His anger in until it's time. But when He lets go, it's going to be something else. So we can be sure that God knows all about and that He hates the evil we face in today's Babylon, the great world system, that He will thus certainly judge it. So be encouraged and so live uprightly in our era. God doesn't want us to get so discouraged at the evil that is around us that we just give up and say, oh, what's the use of living for Christ? Not at all. No way. He's going to hold us accountable to live for Him. He's very angry at what He sees. And He wants us to know it. And He wants us, therefore, to depart from sin ourselves and to live righteously. We are a unique group of people in a unique generation. We are called to be in the world, but not of it. To live in tremendous tension with the evil that exists around us. We're not to cater to it. We're not to give in to it. We're not to tolerate it. We're to be kind. We're supposed to be loving. But God wants us to be totally separate from it. And because he's going to deal with it. I know the governor has taken the stand against Indiana and so forth. And it just seems that the left is really pushing gay marriage and so forth all over the place. Well, we know what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, specifically because of that sin, according to Jude verse 7. So God doesn't want us to give in on that one iota. He wants us to hold our stand and live lives that are righteous and knowing that he's going to judge it. But at the same time, he doesn't want us to be distraught or discouraged or be wiped out over that. He's bigger than that. And his righteousness someday is going to overcome that. And we're going to have a wonderful kingdom here of complete righteousness. But meanwhile, we have to wait for the Lord and trust him.